we're in. God is still on the throne. Amen. When everything is upside down, I mean going crazy, I'm so thankful for the blessings and the grace of God today. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we have. You have your Bibles. We'd like to turn with us to the Word tonight. We're going, amen, to God's holy Word. We want to go to the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter tonight. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 will be our passage of Scripture that we want to share together this evening. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, writes, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory, glory in this, that he hath understand, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." God said, in those things I delight. When somebody understands and knows that I'm in control, and I'm the one that exercises loving kindness, I'm the one that has judgment, I'm the one that has righteousness in the earth. These things I delight in, saith the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that God is in control? Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight with us. Amen. Oh, let's give thanks to the Lord for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, what a mighty God we serve this evening. Amen. And here we are tonight in his house. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God is in control. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 5 of 1 John. The word of the Lord says this, "And hereby do we know that we know him." How do you know that you know him? "If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." I'm glad tonight to know that God knows those that love him. And the way you know is those that keep his commandments. The things of God are always a priority to your life. Then, I want you to turn with me to John the 15th chapter. Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus is speaking. He is saying, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth," everybody say abideth. That simply means stays. That person that stays and takes residence in God, and I in him, mutualness, oneness, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Then I love this last part. "For without me, ye can do nothing." And I had an old teacher, when it got to that word nothing, he would say no thing. Without the Lord, you can't do no thing. And I'm thankful for the glory and the power of the Lord. Amen. I want the glory of God in operation in my life. How about you? God has to be in your life in operation. Not your profession of your lips, not at what you proclaim, but God working in your life. Amen. I want more than lip service. I want God to be in service in my life. I want God to be in operation in my soul. But today we gather and we want to reflect on a crucial aspect of our spiritual journey to help you, to help me, and to bring understanding and recognition that in our course of life, we must maintain an understanding and a knowing God. And we got to realize that in every aspect of our life, we've got to remember our need of God. I want to preach or talk to us tonight for just a few moments about the danger of losing sight of our need for God. We're in an hour where people are losing sight of their need for the Almighty God. Amen. And tonight in this house, I have an obligation to bring to you the word. As a pastor, a shepherd, amen, my obligation is to help you, to correct you, to instruct you, and to bless your life. Man, we're not here to just cut your throat and let you bleed, but we're here to help you get to the other side, to give you the goods, to make it, to feed your soul, to lead your soul, and to protect you. The word of God will be right 9 times out of 9. Amen. I got to obey this book. Amen. The obligation is we need to know God. We need to know God, and we need to know that we need God. And we can learn how to do things. We can learn how to come to church, and we can learn how to go through the rituals of what we call church services and still not learn how to know God. Amen. Abiding in God means He is the most vital and important source in our life. God has to be number one in your life. And you have to be one with that number one. Amen. There must be mutualness and oneness. And we got to understand our dependency on God. The biblical foundation of dependency is from Genesis to Revelation. Of the Word of God highlights our need of God. We see stories of human frailty and fragility and how God's unwavering support to those that recognize their need of God, that knows their place and knows His power and knows their need in this hour of the Almighty God. Now, there are some consequences of losing sight of that great need in our life. You'll find that the Laodicean church in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, they became spiritually useless. And because in their eyes they were hot, their relationship was fiery, and we know that the word of God begins to rebuke them because they assumed something that they were not. And even though they had prosperity, they begin to take in calculation that their prosperity, the blessings that was on their life, was an indication that they were spiritual or had spirituality. I want to just talk to us tonight that, I mean, regardless if you have blessings, regardless if you have the things of life that are multiplying in productivity, if you do not have a relationship with God, amen, your religion is in vain. We don't ever fall to that place that we become spiritually useless or self-deceived. In God's eyes, they were miserable, poor, blind, and naked, in great need. But in their eyes, they were rich, increased with goods. And Revelation 3 says, having need of nothing. Having need of nothing. But they were stale. They were stagnant. They were threadbare. The importance of leaning and looking to God and depending on God is always in order. The overcomer, the scripture right after that, Revelation, the 3rd chapter. He said, he that overcometh will be the one that sits on my throne. God is looking for those that will conquer all the feelings of self-security and self-sufficiency. God wants you to be able to tap into Him and let Him be God in your life. Amen. Oh, friend, hear me today. Hear me from my heart. God is looking for people in this hour to recognize their place and to recognize that it's by the power and the grace of God. You need the Spirit of God in operation in your life. Amen. The overcoming one will sit with Him on His throne, the conqueror. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Then it says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We need to learn how to listen with our spiritual ears in a world of many voices. In a time where everything is chaotic, I still want an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. A spiritual understanding and a spiritual connection that I can know the voice of God. The voice of God will always be certain. The voice of God will always match up with the Word. Amen. And there are those that think they hear from the Lord. They hear things. But you need to know everything that comes across. You need to try the spirits, the Scripture says, and see if they be of God. Not everything that proclaims to be a Christian, not everything that claims to be right, and if it don't match up with the Spirit and the Word, it falls short. It's funny, there was a little gentleman, an elderly gentleman, that did not like the preaching of the Word of God. It was getting to him. So to speak, the preacher was stepping on his toes and he didn't like it. So he reached up and he took his hearing aids and he turned them off and put them in his pocket where he could not hear what the preacher was saying. And then he was still fuming. A little bit later, he reached up and took his glasses off and put them in his pocket. And somebody nudged him later on and said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I didn't want to hear and I didn't want to see what he was saying." And that's the same generation that we're at time in, same illustration, where people today have selective hearing. They don't want to hear what the Word or the Spirit has to say to them. Hear me tonight, saying of God, don't just hear with your ears, but you need to listen with your spirit. You need to listen to the things of God. God is looking for those that still have sight of their need for Him. You know, salvation is more than just an escape from the consequences of sin. It's also a joining to the Almighty God, abiding in God. More than a fire escape. I want more than a fire escape and a fire blanket religion. Amen. In fact, I don't want religion at all. I want God in my life. Amen. It's an exit from one realm to a new beginning. John, the third chapter, a very religious man came to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In the study of Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a very wealthy man. He was a very man of authority. And he was a very religious praying man. But it comes to Jesus with the question, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Except you're born again, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again." And the message is still the same today. There must be a new birth. But in order for there to be a new birth in your life, there must be a death in your life. There must be a death to self. There must be a burial of self. There must be a putting away the things of sin. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. But old self has to die out. The fleshly desires and sinful desires have to be put in its place. It's amazing that self, when self is served, self has a way of being needy and greedy. Not only that, but self has a way of always having its feelings out. And you start getting on somebody. You begin to try to tell them the right thing. They don't want to hear it. They get their feelings hurt. I want to tell you that you could take a dead man and you could pinch his nose. You could pull his ears. And he's not going to grumble and he's not going to complain. When we become dead to self, the preaching of the Word will twist us, but it's not going to hurt us. It's going to get us in shape. The preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, and the Spirit of the Word of God will straighten us up. When all things are trying to get a hold of our life, everything is coming against us. I'm glad I have a God that loves me enough to help me out. I need God today. I need the hand and the help of God. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. Verse 19 through 20. It poses a question. Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Let me just say this tonight. When you belong to you, and you are more important than the things of God, you're deceiving yourself. 1 Corinthians 7, chapter, verse 23 through 24. It says, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men, brethren. Let every man wherein he's called there and abide with God. Abide with God. Amen. When you abide with God, you realize what God has done for you. You'll stay with the things of God. I want to just challenge this congregation and encourage you tonight. We need to stay in the vein of the Holy Ghost, the power of God. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let the flesh deceive you. You heard me once and you hear me again tonight. Hear me. If you go to hell, if I go to hell, it won't be God that sends us there. It won't be the devil that sends us there. But the person in the mirror is the person that does you more damage than anybody. Amen. A consequence of losing sight of our spiritual need for God is spiritual dryness. Whenever you get spiritually dry, there's something that begins to happen where your prayer becomes routine. Your worship becomes hollow. And your sense of purpose begins to fade. You forget about things. You forget about the purpose, and you forget about the things what you're here for. You forget about your need for God. We need to set a premium today on never losing sight of our purpose with God and our need of God. Our worship should not be a ritual or routine. When you come to the house of God, let it be something fresh for the master. Never was there an offering in the Old Testament that was some old thing. It always had to be something new and something fresh for God. And let it be every time you worship God. Let it be with a brand new yearning and a brand new hunger and a brand new honor for the King of Kings. I need God. Our worship should admire God. He should be our source. Worship is not just empty rituals. You come to church, let it be a delight in your heart. If it's not a delight, you're losing sight. When people start losing their sight, there's a gradualism that begins to happen to where they can't fully see, they cannot fully perceive things. And it's a sad day that when we lose a sight of our place with God, the next thing, they lose their hearing. And when you start aging physically, you lose your sight and your hearing. I used to pick on Brother Cooley and Sister Cooley when they turned 50. They started having to use cheaters and little reader glasses. And it was funny because I would pick on them because Brother Cooley would look for his and Sister Cooley would have them. One time she had several pair of glasses in her hair, just stuck in her hair. And Brother Cooley was looking for them. She had them. And I used to pick on them. But friend, when I had turned a certain age, I started having to find me some and buy me some. And that's a part of the natural process. You start losing your eyesight. You start losing your hearing. More than once this week, I had to ask my wife, would you please say that again? I didn't understand you. That's part of when you pass the 50 mark. But let me say this. Amen. Spiritually, we should never get to the place that we age. But it ought, our senses ought to sharpen and become more acute the more we walk with God. Don't let it be that just because you think you've been in church a certain amount of time that, oh, you got seniority. No, no, folks. Amen. The kingdom of God is looking for those that are growing. And your faith becomes more vibrant. Amen. The older you get, even though your body, amen, begins to get older. Your eyes, you can't see physically and you can't hear good. I'm glad that you can still hear the things of God and see the things of God in operation in your life. Be that one that stays in tune with God. Amazing, people start losing their feeling when they become dry spiritually. There's a sense of detachment. And there is naturally condemnation that comes. Condemnation always causes a person to become defensive. Anytime God begins to impose, and let me just say that God never imposes. But let me use that illustration. When somebody feels that God is imposing something on them, they become defensive. They begin to look at things, that don't matter. That's just petty. No, when the Lord begins to speak to you to do something, never let it become petty. Let it become priority to your soul. God is looking for those that will seek him with a whole heart. Amen. God is looking for somebody with a strong heartbeat. Our heartbeat should not weaken the more we walk with God, but our heartbeat ought to become stronger. Everything inside of us ought to yearn for the glory and for the blessings and to please God in this day and hour. Don't let your heart become hardened or weakened, but let your heart grow stronger. Let your walk become close to God. And amazing that, when my kids were younger, I dare wouldn't let my kids do certain things. And let me pick on my mother that's here tonight. My mother dare wouldn't allow us to eat on her carpet cookies. But her great-grandkids, somehow or another, she lets them. That's called the grandparent effect. Because them grandkids, I'm going to just say this tonight. Amen. As a pastor, I don't want to let that grandpa effect get a hold of me, that I don't preach to you, amen, with a heart that is after your soul. I can't just look and say, well, Coley, I was there when you were born. I dedicated you, and begin to say, that's just Coley. We'll let her, when you're going the wrong direction, Coley, I still want to be pastor enough to love you, but yet stop you and say, Coley, you're headed the wrong direction. But I want Coley to realize, I don't want her to look at me and say, oh, that's just Pastor Crossway. He was there all my life. That's just pastor. No, hear me. Amen. I stand as God's shepherd to your life. Amen. Hear your pastor. Hear the voice. Know the voice of your pastor, Coley. Always keep that voice close in your life. Amen. It was amazing to me Sunday night. I mean, these three men that brought messages Sunday night, none of them knew what each other was going to talk about. I texted them just a little bit before service because I was physically weak and I just felt I needed help. So I texted all three of them. I said, can you bring something? And all three of them, when they got up to speak, those of you that were here, you could certify, all three spoke in concordance with the same message. You know what that tells me? Amen. We need to hear what the Spirit's saying. We need to understand what the Spirit is trying to get over to us. I believe that, folks, that we can ever get to that place that we lose sight of our need for the Almighty God and our place in God. You know, I believe that you need to leave each service ready to go to heaven. That's the reason why when you come, amen, you need to give your best to God. Never save your best for later. Everybody saves their best for later. I'm that type of person. I could be bleeding, but I'll save that one more Band-Aid for something that may be worse than what I think. Instead of just using that one Band-Aid, I'm the type of person, I'll just be okay. No, let's keep it for in case there's an emergency. I'm just that type of person. I've been that type of person. But let me just talk to us. We can't save our best for later with God. God deserves your best every day that you live. God is looking for you to offer you in the most honorable state. Even your heart should be giving God your very best. God did not want a secondary offering back in the Old Testament. He didn't want them to bring something out of the flock that was crippled or mangled or blemished. He said, you bring forth your best to me. And God is looking for his people always to give him their best. When you give God your best, God will give you his best. Somebody say amen. Amen. You come to the house of God to give, even when you are upset. Have you ever realized that life will upset you when it's church time? Things will happen when it's time, especially when you're getting ready to church. And, I mean, you have a bad hair day. You know what I'm talking about? There's things that's going to happen en route or in trying to get to the house of God. Are you getting to the parking lot? Has anybody ever been upset when you got to the parking lot? Something upset you? Yeah. The enemy knows if he can steal your joy. If you get a hold and distract you from giving your best, he's got you. Hear me tonight. Amen. Oh, we've got a bad habit sometimes of not topping our tank. Talking about our fuel tank. Many times we let our tank, the gauge on it, get down to a quarter of a tank. And we say, well, I'll fill it up later. And then when we get in the vehicle and there's an emergency, we have to head to the hospital. The light is on, indicating that we're on empty. Folks, it's the same thing spiritually. We need to top off our tank every time we come to the house of God. Amen. We don't need to rely upon and gamble on tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. You need to top your tank off with praise and worship and honor to the King of Kings. Increase that in your life. Work on you. Work on the way that you worship. The next consequence of losing that place where you recognize you need God is there is an increased vulnerability to temptation. When people quit relying on God, you become susceptible to sin and temptation. Your defenses are down. And you find yourself making compromises. Compromises are easy to make and to justify. Right. Hear me? Amen. You'll justify your compromising. It's easy when you're not in touch with God. It's easy when you're not giving your heart to God completely. You see, the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to repeat something I say all the time because I want it in your heart. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it is not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. Most people think, well, I'm saved. I can do what I want now. I'm all right. I can relax. No, amen. It is a birth certificate. It is a beginning. You got an obligation to walk with God, to grow in God. Amen. Isn't it amazing? People start losing their joy and their peace. And if hell could distract you, in the next little comical thing that I always say, he will mummify you and dummify you. You get to that place where the enemy begins to take you and take your life out and make you where you become an idiot. Isn't it crazy how we become idiots when we become carnal? You feed the carnal man does crazy things, foolish things. And, you know, and we lose that sense of balance. We lose that sense of perspective. We lose that sense of reverence to where we do things off the cuff. And we won't look at the consequences. We think, oh, it ain't going to hurt me. But the consequences is something that we have to deal with. They're not just a one dealing. We have to deal with them over and over and over again because of our foolish mistakes. I'm glad God forgives sins. Amen. But hear me, we do not have a license to sin because of that. And we definitely don't have a license to compromise. That loss of joy and peace comes very quickly. And hell seems to win. You feel depleted. Everything that you had in your tank is gone. And pretty soon you feel weak. Spiritually, you have no fight inside of you. I'm glad that God still operates when he sees the need of somebody. But I'm glad that when you see that you have a need of God, God still answers. The children of Israel, when they were blessed and prospered, man, they had no need of God. They forgot God. They forgot the source. But the moment they got in a bind, they started squalling. They started crying. And I'm glad that when they recognized their needs, God always came through for them. You know, there was a young man. He was away from home. He went to college. And while he was at college, I mean, man, he lived it up. He partied. And finally, he ran out of money, so he texted his dad. Dear dad, no mun, no fun, your son. His dad replied back, dear son, how sad, too bad, your dad. Oh, we got to remember who's the source of our blessing. You got to keep in contact with that source. Don't let your relationship become long distance. King Saul, at first, the Bible says, was a very humble man. Physically, he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else, but there came a place where through his eyes, he became bigger than what he was. He became important. Somebody big in his own vision, in his own eyes. In fact, the things of God became secondary. The things of King Saul became primary. He did what he felt versus obeying what the word of God or the man of God said. And as a result, King Saul died in a rebel state of mind. You know, Job, just the opposite, lost everything he had, but he didn't lose his heart for God. While he had things, he blessed God, and when he didn't have things, he blessed God. He stayed with God, and God stayed with him. And I love what he says, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you the one that blesses God when God gives? And are you one that blesses God when God takes away? Amen. I want to keep God the treasure above all things in my life. How about you? Amen. We need to listen to the heartbeat of the Spirit many times. And I could hear my old pastor saying this. You better check your dipstick. Dipstick? Anybody don't know what a dipstick is? Dipstick is whenever you take and you check your oil. It's that long rod, little thin thing that sticks in the oil down at the bottom of the oil pan. And you pick it up. And don't be like me when I was a young person. My daddy said, I need you to check the oil in this van. This is going on vacation. Yes, sir, I will. Well, Brother Murray, I didn't know the dipstick, the oil deal from the transmission deal. And I opened it up and I pulled that oil in the transmission part, in the steering, power steering deal. We got it in the road and just a little bit, that Ford van loaded down with all of us. We're going to go, listen, hey, something's wrong. Where did you put that oil at? I said, well, I put it where it's supposed to go. Daddy said, he opened the hood and he said, show me. And when I pointed to the wrong thing, Daddy said, I thought so. Folks, you need to know where your spiritual oil stick is at. Amen. You need to know where you stand with God. You need to check your dipstick, so to speak. Amen. At all times, is it registering a need of a renewal in God? Amen. Oh, Fred, I still remember when Sister Crosswhite and I were young and I would drive to go see her. You've heard it, maybe the story, but I got to say it again because it relates to what we're talking about. I get that after that 2-hour drive, my little Ford Escort was just a rattling. And Brother Miller, Sister Mahala's dad, and Brother Roach were there. And Brother Miller said, young man, open that hood. And he took and pulled that dipstick out and he said, my Lord. He said, son, this thing don't run off of love. Man, it was low on oil. The oil was very low and we had to put some new oil. Keep your oil in your lamp, so to speak. Keep the fire burning in your heart. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling us tonight, you cannot beat obeying the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a danger to lose sight of your need of God. You could sing with talent and still not tap into the Spirit. You could come to church and still not yield to God. You better be one that knows how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Now, many times individuals forget their place in God. And I can remember hearing this, and I had to find it today, but it's a story of a battleship that was plowing at night through rough, foggy seas. And the battleship's radar suddenly indicated there was an object directly in its path. And the ship's captain sends a radio signal. We are on a collision course. I advise you to change course 10 degrees north. And a response crackled over the radio. Negative. We advise you to change course 10 degrees south. The captain could see a little blinking light way far, but it was approaching. It was approaching fast and perturbed. He bellows a reply. I am a ship's captain. Change course 10 degrees north now. And across the radio came a reply. I am a seaman second class, came the reply. I advise you change course 10 degrees south to avoid immediate collision. The captain is furious. He blurts out another command. This is a battleship. Change your course immediately. Of course, from the course of the radio came the calm reply. This is a lighthouse. The battleship changed its course. When the Lord is trying to get you to change your course, don't argue with the voice of God. Amen. Don't argue with the voice of God. Remember, God's radar sees things. And there's things God puts in your life. God puts people there in your life to help you. It's not just a ministry, but brothers and sisters there to help you and to bless you. And thank God for the ministry. At times we see things on the radar and we try to help people. Hey, friend, hear the voice of those that see something in the Holy Ghost. God gives pastors. The Bible says God gives to use your pastor. He has given pastors to you to help you. They're given lanes. You go to the airport. You go to land. There's given standards for the safety and the landing procedures. And the man in a control tower. Man, people don't like that word control tower. They don't like control. But friend, the lanes are there. The landing strip, the certain place that is there is for our good and for our safety. There's a standard you've got to follow. You just can't just appear and think, well, I want to land right there. We don't need to get upset when the voice says, adjust your course. Turn this way. I'm telling you, amen, God wants us to know him. The Bible, again, I quoted it a while ago in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are going into the world. And this is one of the things my pastor taught me, and I want this church to catch. Try the spirits. Always try the spirits. The next thing he said, try your spirit, but always obey the spirit. Don't try his spirit. Obey his spirit. Try these spirits of others. Try your spirit, but comply with the Holy Spirit. Is there something in your life that right now that you're needing in your personal life from heaven? There are things that you're battling right now that you're going through that you're having a problem with. There's some things that are under your skin right now. Or maybe there's a place that you recognize your need of God. You need the help in the hand of God. Those that recognize they need God, you're in a better shape than those that will stubbornly say, I have no need of God. Laodicea, they had no need of God, they thought. But we need God. It was just the other day on a Tuesday. It was the last Tuesday for our Christian school to have chapel service. Right here, this podium, I gave the little devotion. And I talked about super glue. Super glue. People wonder, how did you make it all these years? Well, I tell them, I said, it's because of super glue. And I talked about the stickiness of super glue, the bond effect of super glue. And in the fourth grade, there was a young man in my class named David Perkins that glued his fingers together like this. Reason why he glued them like this, because he wanted to make some glasses. I can't do it anymore. Everybody in the class was laughing. David realized he couldn't get his fingers apart. And I could remember that little blonde-headed boy all of a sudden panicking. And the teacher was Dr. Arsenault. And Dr. Arsenault walked up to him. He said, well, David, we're going to have to figure out to get this. It may peel your skin. He shouldn't have said that. He started, a fourth grader now started screaming and crying, oh! And I told our chapel and our Christian school, Superglue. The acronym GLUE. God's love is the ultimate evidence in my life. I make any decision by what God loves. If God loves it, I'm going to love it. If God hates it, I'm going to hate it. And if God looks at it as being good, it's good for me. But if God says, I'm going to say, if God says, don't look at it, don't partake of it, don't handle it, I'm not touching it. If God says, I don't like it, I don't like it. If God turns his back on it, I'm going to turn my back on it. If it looks like something that is against God, I'm going to be against it. If it's something that God loves, I'm going to love it. Is it glue, super glue? The great love of God will always be the ultimate evidence in how we discern and begin to determine an outcome. Whether it's music, what you listen to, run it through that. Does God love this? Or is it something that's maybe, if it's maybe, I need to give a maybe, bye-bye-bye to it. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are virtue, and if it's of good report, think on these things. But what about the things that are not of that? I've got to learn to shun. I've got to learn to put away. If it don't check, and the way I brought the ending like this, I have to look, do it for me, through the lens of the eyes of the Almighty God. And it's his ways, not my way. How does God see it? I want to always stay in sync with the Almighty King of Kings and his word. Even no wonder the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O God. Even tonight, we're at the end of what I wanted to bring to you. But the Holy Ghost is here to, amen, to nudge you, to get you, amen, to shake you and bring you to that place of recognition and realization that we sure need him. How about you tonight? I mean, he's recognized your need of God. You'll never outgrow your need of God. Amen. I will always need my Jesus. Amen. Would you just lift your hands right now to him? Amen. And would you thank him for being a faithful king? A God that cares about you. A God that loves you. A God that has you in mind. I love and I praise you today, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, grow my faith. Grow my relationship, Lord Jesus. Help me to know more of you, Lord. Help me to grow close to you. Help me, Lord, to stand fast, to be steadfast and to stay put in the things of your kingdom. To walk the right way. God, to have an ear to hear and a heart, Lord Jesus, set for your spirit and for the things of your word. And I give you the praise. I give the glory in Jesus' name. Would you